Well, we've been doing a series on what God has, what's special to us, passages that have spoken to us. and I want to conclude with 21 passages. That's a preacher for you, right? I want to talk today about guarding our hearts. The passage really is in Proverbs chapter 4. Keep your heart, or guard your heart, with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. But what I want to talk about is the heart. and I'm going to do a whole bunch of passages, and because they have to deal with the heart. Now, there's 765 times in the Bible that the word heart occurs. But we're not going to look at all of them, okay? we're just going to look at 21, which is still quite a bunch. but what I'd like you to do is not just learn about the heart, but I hope you'll pick up an example here of the value of using something called a concordance. A concordance is where they take all the verses, all the words in the Bible, and they arrange them alphabetically so that you can look up underneath the word heart, and there will be 765 references there for it. And there's Cruden's Concordance and Strong's Concordance. When I became a Christian, was baptized, my pastor gave me a Cruden's Concordance. And what a difference that made in my life, to be able to study the Bible by topics. If I wanted to look up about the heart or about sin or whatever it might be, I could go look up the word, and then there'd be a whole list of scriptures, and they'd quote parts of the verse and with a reference and look it up. Now, there's also a Strong's Concordance. And what Strong's Concordance does is it lists it in the English, but then it also breaks it down by the Greek or Hebrew words so that you can look at it according, because like the word love, there's agape and phileo. and there's some others too, but those are two big ones. And you can look up the difference between those and study. You can get real nerdy if you want. But anyway, I want to encourage you to be able to use a concordance. Many times there's one in the back of your Bible that's a partial concordance. And there are a lot of Bible tools online that you can download, and they have concordances. And you can go online and use a concordance. So we're going to be looking at the heart. Let's pray. Lord, as we study the heart, we open our hearts to you. We invite you to speak to us, to cleanse our hearts, to renew them, to fill them with your presence, with your love. And we want to love you and love others with all our heart. Do speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. When the Bible talks about the heart, it's not just talking about the organ that's in here, bum, 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 bum. That's not what it's talking about. The heart is kind of the central thing of our whole body, and it's connected to everything. And so in the ancient old world, they didn't understand a whole lot about organs, but what they did know was that there is within each of us a core inside of us that deals with our mind, our thoughts, our emotions, our affections, our will. This is our heart. And this is what God wants to work in. And when the Bible generally uses the word heart, that's what it's referring to, is the core of our emotions and our intellect, our will, our attitudes. So, we've got a whole bunch of references on heart. The first ones, and I put them in some categories, the first category is that apart from Christ, our hearts are messed up with sin. This is true of everybody. Everyone has their hearts messed up by sin. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, it says, "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Wow. This is before the flood. God's looking at the earth. He sees that man has messed it up. His wickedness from Eve has been multiplied and spread throughout all mankind, and it was great. And every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continuously. That's the whole world in a mess. And God said, "I'm going to judge that." And he did. Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind and give to every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds." The heart is deceitful, sneaky, tricky, above all things, and desperately sick, incurably diseased. Now, God can cure incurable diseases, and that's what he does with the heart. But apart from God, the inner core of us emotionally, intellectually, is really messed up, predisposed to make dysfunctional choices. And it's deceitful. We think we're great, but we're deceiving ourselves. This is the condition of the inner core of mankind. Apart from Christ, we are a mess. Our culture is a mess. If you don't believe that our culture is a mess, turn on the news. Look out your window, right? We live in a world that is caught up in dysfunction and sin. And our hearts really need to be focused not on dysfunction, but on love. Love for God, love for one another. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, we have the introduction of the Ten Commandments. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart." Jesus quotes this when someone says, "What's the greatest commandment of all? What's the most important commandment to obey?" He says, "Love God with all your heart." And the second one is, "Love your neighbor as yourself." Psalm 24 says, "Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. He will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob." Selah. Meditate on this. Who is going to stand up in God's presence? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. He will receive blessing from the Lord. And that's the generation that seeks him. We come into God's presence with a pure heart. We're to love him with all our heart. Psalm 37 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." Gee, I love God, but boy, I sure enjoy ice cream or whatever. Well, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart within reason. Not too much ice cream. I think we only get one scoop, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe two. Oh, well. The point is that we all have things we really enjoy and delight in. But what we're to really delight in is God. And when he is the desire and what we really seek after, he provides the other stuff too. I grew up going to grandma's up in Michigan. Grandma had cottages on a lake, and I loved being on that lake, Big Bass Lake. It was great. Loved it. And God called me out here to the North Country. And you know where we live today? On Norwood Lake. God opened up a beautiful place for us there. Phenomenal. Provided for us and just gave us just the lovely house overlooking the lake. I enjoy that. But my first commitment was to serve God wherever He called me. And when I did that, He provided the things that I delight in and enjoy. He does that. But we need to seek Him first. Jeremiah 29 says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." God doesn't want us just being Sunday Christians. He wants us to have a heart that's fully committed to Him, that's seeking Him, that's in love with Him with all our heart, Monday through Sunday, and then we'll find Him. Yesterday, I don't think He'll mind me using this, but Laurel's husband was here serving, and he lost his keys. He dropped them somewhere, and as the day was going on, he was out looking, "Where are my keys? Where are my keys?" And toward the, just before we closed up, some lady came up and said, "I found these keys." And God provided when we really are looking for stuff and we never find it. God knows, and He can provide for us. We need to seek Him, and He will provide for us. 1 Peter chapter 1 says, "Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart." Being a Christian, there's a whole lot of stuff we're supposed to deal with. We're supposed to put off these sins and do this right and read your Bible and go to church and be a witness and do all these things. The real goal of what God's wanting to do in our lives is love. Love God and love one another. We can work real hard in the church, but it's not just doing stuff. It's doing it out of love and loving one another and appreciating one another. As I look out, you are all so vastly different from each other. Different in age, different in education, different in background, different in jobs. You've got so much differences, and yet we've got that one common bond in Jesus Christ. And we're to love one another and really focus on reaching out across all those differences, reaching out in love to one another earnestly from a pure heart. So, apart from Christ, we're really messed up by sin, but our hearts really need to be focused on loving God. Well, how do we get from here to here? And that is, we need to have Christ create a clean heart in us. Psalm 51, starting at verse 7, says, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you've broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." In Psalm 51, this is a confession of David. He's recognized that he has sinned, and he needs God's forgiveness. And so he says, "Purge me with hyssop." And that purging with hyssop, hyssop was an old reed that the Israelites used. The priest would dip it in the blood of the sacrificed animals and then sprinkle it on the people. And so David here is saying, "I know I need to be cleaned by the blood. Purge me with hyssop and I'll be clean. Wash me, I'll be whiter than snow." let the bones that you've broken rejoice. He had been chastised by the Lord. Hide your face from my sins. Lord, I need you to deal with my sin. I need you to blot out my iniquities. But what I need then is for you to create a clean heart inside of me and renew a right spirit. And this is what we all need. Apart from Christ, we've messed up our lives. And we need Jesus Christ to cleanse us by his sacrifice, by his blood shed on the cross. We need to be washed from our sins. And we need the Holy Spirit to come in and create in us a clean heart, something that's not all messed up with sin, but something that's new and clean and whole and fresh. And this is what the Holy Spirit does. When we invite Jesus Christ into our lives, when we confess our sins, renounce them, and say, God, I want you to come in and cleanse me, give me a clean heart. And the Holy Spirit comes in and does that and renews the right spirit and restores to us the joy of our salvation. Psalm 119 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there's any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And that needs to be our daily prayer. Lord, I want you to search my heart. Some stuff I'm aware of, and I try and deal with that, but I think there's probably some stuff I'm not aware of, and I want you to search my heart and reveal that to me. And if there's something in my life that needs to be changed, I want you to change that. We need that to be a daily prayer. Search me and know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts, and lead me in the way everlasting. Jesus himself said, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Here is the God of the universe becoming flesh and dwelling among us and saying, this is what I'm like. I am meek, I am gentle, I am lowly in heart. God is gentle and lowly in heart. That means he's not like, I'm God. He's like, I'm God. I love you. I come to be among you. I humble myself, and we're to learn from him. We're to be gentle and lowly. We're to reach out to others, no matter where they're at, how messed up they are. We're to be lowly in spirit. That doesn't mean we have to live their lifestyle, but it means we have to not be, well, I'm better than them. We need to be lowly in heart. In heart, not just, okay, I'll put up with them, but a real heart commitment. Romans 10 says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, one believes and is justified, and with the mouth, one confesses and is saved. Again, pointing out that Christianity is not just an outward confession kind of thing. It certainly is that, and we need that outward confession, but it's a heart thing. We need to believe in the very core of our being, in Jesus, and we'll be saved. So, we have Christ in our hearts now. We're cleansed. We're renewed. What's next? We need to guard our hearts. We need to make sure the garbage doesn't get back in. In Proverbs 3, it says, let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of man and God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. The ancient Israelites used to write the Ten Commandments on a tablet, hang it around their neck. And he's saying here, write it on the tablet of your heart. Write God's law on your heart, God's word on your heart. How do you do that? Read it. Memorize it. Share it. Listen to it. Talk about it. Write it on your heart. Make it a part of you, a part of your thoughts, your beliefs, your values, your goals, your discussions. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll keep your path straight. And again, that verse that I started with, Proverbs 4, guard your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. We need to police and protect the stuff from our heart. We live in a culture where there's all kinds of garbage out there, right? I mean, from the billboards, television, newspapers, radio, people at work, all kinds of garbage out there trying to penetrate your heart. And we need to set up a guard in our heart and not listen to it, not go out and intentionally expose ourselves to it. But even when it comes along, there are social situations maybe you can't avoid, but you can still have that wall up, that guard up in your heart. It says, no, I'm not going to listen to that. I'm not going to believe it. I'm not going to practice it. I'm not going to repeat it. We need to guard our hearts with all diligence, with all guarding. Ezekiel 11, which actually fits into the category above, but here also, I will give them one heart and a new spirit I will put within them. I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. This is God speaking through Ezekiel and prophesying about the church, that he's going to take out this hard heart and give us a heart of flesh. And what we need to do is to have a heart that's open and receptive and responsive to God. We need to come to God every day and say, God, speak to me, reveal to me, show me where I need to change. Speak to my heart. Give me that heart of flesh, that heart of sensitivity and responsiveness. And in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart. We need to have a heart that is pure. It's not, yeah, I love God, and I love this, a pure heart. Again, in Matthew 6, Jesus says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What we need to do is to have a heart that's really focused on eternity, focused on God, focused on his kingdom, focused on what is right and good and pure, focused on the kingdom of God, not on this world, not on all the stuff around us. What's your treasure? Matthew 15 says, what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. And this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. This is Jesus speaking. He's speaking to a mixed crowd. But as Christians, God creates a new heart, but there's still that old heart of flesh hanging in there trying to speak to us. And there's a part of us inside of us that still has those dysfunctional evil desires. And we need to guard against that. We need to have not just a wall that's without, but a wall inside that says, I'm not going to give in to those thoughts. And when those desires and those lusts and those angry things come up inside of us, we need to renounce that. We need to build a wall inside of us against all that garbage that's still there from our old nature. Jesus says in John 14, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. I love getting nerdy here. Let not your heart be troubled. That is a passive imperative. It's commanding you to not have something happen to you. Don't let your heart be bothered by all the garbage out there. And don't let your heart fear. Don't let that fear come up within your heart. You need to have that double wall of protection. And it comes through experiencing God's peace and having a relationship with God. Jesus said, "Believe in God, believe also in me. Peace I leave with you." We can have God's peace in the midst of a bunch of garbage around us. We can have God's peace in the midst of a bunch of turmoil within us. We need to walk with God. Paul tells Timothy, "Flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with all who call on the Lord from a pure heart." Out of your pure heart, you need to pursue, seek after, not youthful passions, but righteousness, faith, love, and peace in the context of your brothers and sisters in Christ. You need to pursue that stuff. That means you got to work for it. You got to struggle for it. You got to put forth an effort to pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace from a pure heart. And finally, in Hebrews 4, it says, "The word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of the soul and the spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it's going to go in and slice out all this stuff and discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, the word of God, Jesus is the word of God, and so we need to have that walk with Jesus. But this is also the word of God. He spoke. And so to have God purify our hearts, to God have God open up and slice through all the garbage in our hearts and bring out the right thoughts and intentions in our heart, we need to be in the word of God. I have a saying, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. A chapter a day keeps the devil away. Not really, but it helps. An onion a day keeps everyone away. No. That's But we need to read the Bible. And we need to ask God to speak to us through it. And we need to let the word of God penetrate our heart, fill our heart with truth, and free us from the garbage. Are you ready to do that? Are you ready to do that? Let's pray. Lord, you gave us tremendous capacities, minds that can understand and learn and grow, emotions that can feel deeply and identify, wills that can choose. And we want you, Lord, to work in these areas. We invite you. Lord, just reveal yourself in our hearts. Purify us. Recreate us. Renew us. Help us to love you and to love one another with all our heart. In Jesus' name, amen.